it has three dimensions, and inshallah, since this is the last speech of the series, I'll try to conclude it, and hopefully, you know, reach a strong conclusion so that we can all take advantage of these lectures and these discussions that we had. There are three dimensions in life in order to understand. If a person understands life, then it means that he's able to utilize life and he'll be happy in life. If a person doesn't understand what life is, then truly his life is miserable. He will always be in depression and sadness and grief. And he will never achieve the objectives that he has for himself. So, these three dimensions of life, we discussed about the height of life. The height of life, and the length of life, and the width of life. The length of life means how long are you going to live for? And the answer to that is that we are going to live forever. Since we are going to live forever, and life is eternal, there is no ending to life. So this itself has many effects in our own behavior and attitude. If I know that I'm going to be alive forever, then I'll have a different outlook in how I live my life. This is the effect that has on me. The height of life is that we can attain and achieve whatever greatness we want to attain or achieve. And all of that greatness that we can achieve can only be gotten over here in this world. Right? This is the height. So this life, the life of dunya, hayatul dunya, gets importance by understanding the height of life. That's what everything that we do here becomes important. Every small thing we do here becomes important. That's why we pay attention in this life, dunya. Lesson number two. Number three is the width of life. The width of life means the ability for us to utilize the blessings of Allah. This is the width of life. Let me just explain a little bit about this today, and we will, inshallah, and soon. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Here, when we look at the fact that Allah made akhirat, our life there, to be a place of, you know, immense blessings. And all these things that we get there, that Allah speaks about Jannah.
Obviously are incentives for us, right? Now, these things, if they are supposed to be there, if happiness is supposed to be there, then why did Allah give the same things over here in this dunya? This is one question I want to answer before I go on. You understand the question? Now, you know, if you're going to get mates and food and drinks and all of these enjoyable things in Jannah, then why did Allah give it to us here? I mean, we see over here that we are born in good families, we have good friends, we have a wife and kids and children and enjoyment, and all of these things are here. And this makes it hard for us to leave this place to go there. Why did Allah make these excitement and make these enjoyments in this world? He shouldn't have made it here. In fact, if He had made this place a boring place, if He had made this place a place that is dry and disgusting, everyone would want to leave here. Right? Everyone would want to go to Jannah. But He made this place good also. It's not that this place is boring. No. There's a lot of exciting things here we do. We have love, relationship, compassion, mercy. All of these things are there. And it makes life exciting. So why is it that Allah made it here? My friends, the answer to that is this. Dunya and the life of dunya compared to the life of akhirat is like an appetizer. Right, compared to the main entree. Right? This is the appetizer. Allah is giving you an appetizer so you can know what's coming. And then Allah is saying that, what, are you just happy with the appetizer? Or you want a main entree? You want the steak to come, the prime rib filet mignon, you know, to come in front of you, right? You want that to come, or you just want to be happy with the salads and the greens? Right? What do you want? The idea is that for us, dunya, Allah is giving as an appetizer. So that when we taste the appetizer, we can say, man, if the appetizer is this good, then imagine what the main entree is going to be like. Right? The idea, this is the reason why, for example, Allah, one, He made things attractive in this world. One thing, right? Now, the second reason, why? My second reason, because a lot of times what happens, and this is, you can just reflect on this reason. Second reason why Allah made this place attractive. Allah, it's so attractive, it's very hard to leave this place. You know, we fall in love with people here, with our relatives, with our friends and family and everything, and it's hard to leave this place. It's very hard. If we hadn't made these things, it wouldn't be that, this attractiveness in this dunya. Allah says in the Quran that He has given zenith to the hayat of dunya. He has made this life of this world beautiful. So Allah, why did You make it beautiful for? It's attracting us. It's keeping us away from our main objective and the greater goal. And the reason why Allah made it attractive is that, you see, why is it that you can't fly? You know, that you can't go in the air. What's the reason? You can't just jump and go in the air. What's holding you down? What's holding us down? What's holding us down from going in the air? Gravity. Thank you. Gravity. If you look at the concept of gravity, Allah put gravity so that in order for us to go in the air, it requires an external energy, spending of more energy. If Allah didn't make gravity, everyone will fly, and someone who flies, it's not a big deal then. Everyone can fly. If for a bird to be proud of flying, like, what are you so proud of? I'm flying. You're a bird. You're supposed to fly. All right? You're expected to fly. For a bird to fly is not a big thing. For a cow to fly is a big thing. Now, if you see a cow flying, you'll be like, okay, that's something you don't see every day. All right? You see the cow flying. But the bird, when it flies, you don't see that. Right? It's not a big deal. Allah kept gravity in this world so that in order to fly, you require some extra energy, you require something special. It takes a special force for you to take off and go in the air. Not everyone can fly. The same reason Allah has kept an attraction in this dunya so that those people who fly from this dunya and truly reach great altitude can be respected and honored. That yes, these people are special. In spite of the attraction of this dunya, that's why they've, you know, in spite of it, they flew. If Allah didn't keep it like that, if this place was a trash, if this place was a garbage dump, then you know what? It wouldn't be a big deal for anyone to want to get out of here. Everyone would want to get out of here. You know, if you're living in a ghetto, you're there because you're forced to be there. Now you want to get out of there because you see that homes are bad, neighborhoods are bad, crime is high, and you know what? I want to get out of here. Of course, wanting to get out of that, yes, I mean, anyone would want that. But if you lived in a good neighborhood, which is attractive, to want to get out of that, you have to be forced to get out of that. You see, the attraction is there. Allah made attraction in this dunya so that those people who leave the attractions of dunya can truly be recognized as great. These people are great because they, in spite of all the attractions, it's not that, you know, they weren't accepted, you know, like the other people were. No. They had the same excitement, they have the same attraction as all the other people had. They had the same appeal to this world as all the other people had. What, you don't think that they have eyes, that mu'mineen have eyes, that they can't see someone beautiful when they walk across? You don't think that they have ears, that they can listen to nice melodies? Of course they can. But the fact is that they, through their own self, decided that these attractions are not worth it. What's worth it is what Allah has promised. Because of this, Allah is saying that they have that true reward. My friends, Allah made this life attractive so that He can see who is great in this life. And the one who's great is the one who can fly above the attractions of this dunya. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This life, my friends, my last point, inshallah, today, and we will end it here, and then, inshallah, question and answers, and we get ready for Eid, right? Last point, inshallah, and I think this would be, I think it's like the most important point, you know? If we can understand this point, it's very important, you know, limitations of life. When we compare dunya to akhirat, one of the differences between dunya and akhirat in regards to the width of life, and I told you width of life means our capacity to use blessings, is the fact that this dunya is limited. It has limitations. There is restrictions. These restrictions that we have are of two types. These restrictions we have are of two types. The first type of limitation or restriction is restrictions that are takweeni, and there are restrictions that are tashri'i. There are some restrictions that we have, takweeni, meaning that in our physical, in our real world, we have restrictions in our life, meaning in our physical existence. We have restrictions. We have restrictions, for example, how much can we eat? We can only eat so much. Can't eat more than that. You're restricted in this world. Are you able to go on top of a building and act like Superman and jump? Yes, you can. But what will happen to you? You know, it'll be a sad situation. The fact is that you are unable to. You don't have the ability to jump off a building. You don't have the ability to stand in front of a train and be hit by a train. You're not living in a make-believe cartoon world. There is a takween here. This takween means there's physical limitations that you have in this world that you can't go beyond. This is the physical limitations we have. There's the shari'i limitations also. That some places where we are not restricted to that are harmful for us, Allah comes and says, hey, listen, this is haram for you. This is wajib for you. These are limitations that have to do with Shari'at, the Islamic law. You know, so there are certain things that we are restricted to from our physical existence, and there are some things that we are restricted to through our spiritual existence or the Shari'at of Allah. As, you know, some people would say that, you know, I mean, we can't eat anything in life. We can't enjoy anything in life. Because have the things doctors made haram, have the things ulama made haram. You know? Doctors, you have diabetes, you have high blood pressure, you can't eat sugar, you can't eat salt. So half of them, they made haram. Half the thing Islam made haram. So hence now we have nothing to eat. Right? So the idea is that, one, there's restrictions of Shari'at. Two, there's a restriction of takween and physical nature. Right? These are two restrictions we have. Now let me take it a little bit deeper than that if you send a loud salawat. Some of these limitations you see are known to you. You know, how strong you are, how much you can lift. They're known to you. Some of these limitations are hidden. They're not known to you. They're unknown. And you see, these limitations will prop up in different ways, in different disguises, different ways of expressing themselves. And I want to explain why this happens. You see, my friends, when you have a limited things in this life, everything is limited here, restricted. It's not open. Space is not open. Everyone has to live within a certain amount of space. There's a ratio of how many people can live in this space. That's it. We are all in this room right now. We have to share this room. Right? It's not like I can do whatever I want here. It's not like my bathroom, I can dance around, you know? This is what do you call my, yeah, this is a place where we come and we are restricted, right? It's a restricted place and we all have to share it. Dunya is like that. It's a restricted place and we all have to share it. It's like, for example, a road that is small. And if you make a lot of automobiles and vehicles go on that road, there's going to be a traffic jam. It's going to come to a point where there's going to be a traffic jam. Traffic can't move forward. Too many cars on the road because the road is limited. It's like bandwidth. The bandwidth here is restricted. How much information can go through that bandwidth is limited. And hence, there comes a time when there's a lot, it will be jammed. This is dunya here. Right? And the idea is that these restrictions that happen, because of these restrictions, you see, it expresses itself in many ways. Let me give an example of that if you send a loud salawats. Who's your best friend that you can think of? Your buddy. The closest friend that you have. Whether it's your brother or anyone. Right? I'm just talking about yourself now. You know, your friend, best friend that you have. Who's the best friend you have? Maybe it's your brother. Maybe it's your father. Maybe it's your wife. You know? Maybe someone. Right? Sisters, this and that. Your best friend, the one that you can share all your secrets with, and you know, you get along so well and you're so close to one another. Tell me, if that is your best friend, in your whole life, did you have any disagreements with them? Right, with your friend? Was there any point that you disagreed on where you said, we should do this, and you said, no, we should do this? Right? No matter how close you are to anyone, you will see that there has to be disagreements. There is a conflict of interest somewhere. Your paths are going to cross. Your ambitions are going to intersect each other. It happens. It has to happen. No one can be living their life with anyone else without any disagreements. There has to be disagreements. For example, on a larger scale, yes. You know, I want to go to Allah, he wants to go to Shaitan. Hey, we can only travel so far. Right? A point will come where my exit will be different than yours. Yes. You know, you have, for example, a group of people who say that, you know what, we want Islam. Another group of people say we want culture. So they can only go so far. A time will have to come when either they compromise with each other and say, okay, you know what, I leave Islam and I'll just join your culture. Or the other guys will say, I'll leave our culture and we'll join your Islam. But there has to be a time when they have to separate. They cannot be together. Because their roads are different. Their goals are different. Individuals also the same thing. You know, I want to be, let's say, an accountant with a firm. You want to be an accountant with that firm. So we all want to be accountant with that firm, but that firm is hiring and there's only one job they're offering. Right? But there's only one job they're offering. So now when they're offering only one job, what happens with that one job? I will go there, you will go there. Obviously we have a conflict of interest. I want that job, you want that job. There is a conflict between you and me. There's no animosity, no need for animosity. Conflict, I'm saying. There has to be a conflict of interest because so resources are limited, bandwidth is restricted, the road is small. And hence, when we all want to travel there, we can't travel. There's going to be a traffic jam. Some of us will get it, some of us will not get it. The whole world, when you have billions of people having different ambitions and goals, they are bound to intersect each other and collide with one another. This is the natural effect of this life of this dunya being limited and restricted. This is the natural effect of that. Because dunya is limited and restricted, that's why these conflicts arise. I want to get this room, you want to get this room. So there's a conflict. Because there's only one room. We wish we can make room for everyone, but we can't. That's not the way this dunya is made. I gave the example yesterday of the game and how the shortage of the ball makes up the game. This is the exact same reason. Here, Allah made shortage in this dunya. And because of this shortage, because of these restrictions of how much we can do here, you see this? We are unable to function, or we have to collide in conflict with others. You understood that? So now, based on this, when we understood this, what akhirat does, what our life hereafter does, what Allah is going to do to us there, is that He is going to unlimit us. He is going to unlimit heaven. Akhirat is unlimited, infinite. There is no shortage of space there. That's why whatever your goal is, it will not conflict with anyone else. You want to eat a cow? You can eat a cow. The other guy has his own cow. Why to eat? You want to have Hurul Een? You can have as many as you want. The other guy has his own Hurul Een. Right? You're not running after one person. You know, I want to marry her. You know, everyone's going after her. But the idea is that everyone there has enough. That's what happens in Akhirat. In Akhirat, in Jannat, Allah is going to unlimit everything. Now, there's no shortage on Allah's side of how much He provides, and there's no limitation on your side of how much you can use. There's no limitation there. My friends, how much do you want to use? You want to eat a cow? You can eat 10. Still. Right? It'll be alright. You can eat whatever you want. However much you want. You see, there, restrictions don't apply. This is the idea of width. Life of the width of life. This is the idea. That in this life, you are limited. In Akhirat, that width is expanded and opened up to infinity. You can use as much resources and blessings as you want. Imagine that. How much we can use there. How much we can do there. Here we are restricted, my friends. Now you understand this. Now, this is physical limitation. Now let me give you the relationship between takwini and tashri'i. The limitations that are physical and the limitations that are according to Shariat. How do we unlimit ourselves physically? Right, here, Allah, I can't eat that much, that's all I can eat. I want to eat more, you gave me all these blessings. Allah is saying, you want to open up your capacity to use more? You want to unlimit yourself? Yes, Allah, I want to do that. How should I do that? He said, I'll give you the keys to unlock yourself. Your physical limitations. My friends, we have physical limitations here. This is the width of life here. We are limited physically. Allah is saying, you open that physical limitations of yours by unlocking it. Allah, how do I unlock it? He says, you unlock it by restricting yourself in this dunya according to my Shariat. When you restrict yourself according to my Shariat, I will unlock your ability in the Akhirat. My friends, we have those limitations here that we can't eat that much. But Allah is saying, I'll give you the keys to open them. How do I open them? You see, these are the things that are haram. These are the things that are wajib. If you do those things, I will unlimit your capacity and make you infinite. Friends, Shariat is the keys to opening the limitations of our width in our life. We restrict ourselves here, Allah unrestricts ourselves there. Allah has this, there's a relationship between life here and life there. Shariat is that life. That if we restrict ourselves according to Allah's Shariat here and Allah's laws here, Allah will unrestrict us in the Akhirat. And says, now you enjoy whatever you want. I'm unrestricted because you restricted yourself here. Someone who fears Allah in this dunya, Allah will never allow him to have fear in the Akhirat. Allah is too merciful to make you fear two times over. Yes, you don't fear Allah here, then Allah will make you fear him there. There you'll fear Allah. But if you fear him here, then Allah will say that, listen, he feared me once, that's enough. Now I don't want any fear in him. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. No fear. Why is there no fear? Because you feared me here. This is where you feared me. That's enough. That's all I wanted. Now I will not make you fear me. Now you are in my mercy. My friends, the width of life is limited. It is opened when we use the keys that Allah gave us. The keys of restricting ourselves is the Shari'at and the law of Allah. We practice that law, we abide by that law, then we see we are unrestricted there. And this is how we get to enjoy Jannat. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path, the wisdom to understand his guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam, make us his helper when he comes. وآخر الدعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين صلوات على محمد وعلى آله. We have just an announcement about the Eid. As you know, that the ulama in Iran and Iraq have declared or announced Eid is tomorrow, except for Ayatollah Sistani. So we saw the moon in Guyana, right? We saw the moon there. That is hujjat for us, right? Because it's close to Florida, and you know we are good with that. Guyana, it's the northern tip of South America. Guyana. Georgetown, Guyana. In Georgetown. It's near the West Indies, Trinidad. Yes. There they saw the moon. Yes, they saw the moon there. Right? And, it's already been declared, so tomorrow will be Eid for everyone except for those who are muqallid of Ayatollah Sistani, which will be Monday. Right, it'll be Monday, right? Everyone else, Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Nasir Makarem and all the other ulama in Iran and Iraq also, Hafiz Bashir, Ayatollah Bashir, and Ayatollah Fayazi, and Ayatollah Hakim, all of them have announced it already, right, that tomorrow is Eid. So, you know, that's the verdict we have so far. And you know, the moon has been sighted, so inshallah, alhamdulillah for all of you. You know, it'll be Eid, inshallah, in 3 more minutes. Yes, Akhi. Yes, for everything. Yes, of course, you know, according to Shariat, you know, when Allah restricts you, you have to have sabr in one way. And when Allah restricts you, according to Taqween, you also have sabr. For example, you know, I want to help my like relative, but I'm restricted. I can't, you know. So obviously it's hard for me. In that case, we have to have sabr. In that case. So yes, in all restrictions, there is sabr. There has to be sabr. All right. Since we are talking about sabr, let me just define sabr so it becomes easy for people to understand. Who knows what is sabr? Sabr, patience. Perseverance, patience, you know. Okay. My friends, sabr is defined in the following way. Right, in life, we come across issues or things where our intellect and aql says something regarding it, and our nafs and desire say something regarding it. For example, any issue where there's a conflict between the aql and the nafs. The aql wants to do something else, nafs wants to do something else. Right? Obvious examples, you know. For example, I see, for example, money lying around. Yeah, nafs says, man, if I take this, we can enjoy. Aql says, it's someone else's, it's haram. Right? So now you have these two things. Any issue that you face in life where your aql says something and your nafs says something, to follow your aql and ignore your nafs is called sabr. This is sabr. Right? To do what your aql says at that time and not do what your nafs says at that time, this is called sabr. When Allah says, be sabir, it means ignore your nafs and do what your aql says. This is the idea behind it, of sabr. So inshallah, you know, this will help us understand that all these restrictions we have, sabr means that, you know what, aql is saying, listen, I just need to do sabr here, meaning do what my aql says, not what my nafs says. Right, and my aql is saying, wait, I'm going to get something better. This word says, all right? I think, inshallah, that is it. We'll stop it here. Azan time is 8:08, if I'm not mistaken. Salawat.